It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 341, entitled Beefy Chunks. It was recorded on Monday, the 21st of July, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by Michelle Frechette, by Tim Nash, and by Tammy Lister. As is always the case these days, we start off the show talking about the bits and pieces that the guests have brought along. And so we talk quite a lot about AI. Tammy Lister is bringing quite a few things that are happening in the WordPress project, but also a ton of stuff which is happening in the medical sphere about AI. And then Tim Nash brings us some news about Gravity Forms, Patchstack talking about the fact that they suffered a man in the middle attack. And then also talking about a new collaboration between a bunch of hosts and whether or not Tim thinks that carries any merit. Also talking about FAIR, this project to decentralize a repository for WordPress and the ability to find different places to download your plugins. Pantheon, the host, has started to use that, and Tim thinks this is going to be something which other hosting companies follow on with as well in the near future. And then we get into the WordPressy stuff. We talk about WordPress 6.8.2. We talk about the carbon footprint for your website. We talk about events, WPLDN and LoopConf. We also talk about some ideas coming from plugins. So Ollie has got a really great idea for adapting and amending WordPress content, multiple things all at the same time. We also talk quite a lot about Felix Arntz. In fact, you might as well call this the Felix Arntz episode because he comes up three or four times. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff like view transitions and a load of other stuff as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress.
This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds.
And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. It depends, I suppose. That's how it works. It's round. There you go, your physics fact of the day. Hello, it's episode number 341 of This Week in Physics. We're going to be talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. I've got a bunch of experts. It's not that. It's This Week in WordPress. We're going to be talking about WordPress. And I can see a collective sigh of relief there on the wrong
no flat earthers in
there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very nice to have you with us. You're joining us from, we have in the UK all the water in the clouds. I don't expect there's any raining anywhere else on the planet at this point because it's absolutely been chucking it down this week. I'm getting in there early because I know that a lot of people like to drop in and talk about the weather. So let's see if anybody does that. We're joined today by three fabulous people. You can see them on the screen. If you're listening to this on the audio, here you go. This is who we've got on our panel today. First one, over there is Michelle Frechette. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, hello, hello.
Nice to have you with us. Michelle is a repeat offender, and if you said on this.
It's true. I will count for that.
Michelle Frechette is the director, executive director of Post Status. In addition to her work there, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, and the creator of WP Speakers, WP Career Pages. She's also an author and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. Living in outside of Rochester, New York, she likes to take nature photographs. And if you want one URL to capture the whole lot, it's meetmichelle.online, meetmichelle.online. And there's another thing, but we're going to mention that in the podcast today. So we'll keep that quiet for right now. Hello. Nice to have you with us, Michelle, once again.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
I was at a Renaissance festival this weekend where everybody was affecting very, very poor British accents.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. It's a bit like us when we do the American accents. It's something.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah. And over there, we have Tammy Lister. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
Oh, Tim. No, that was one. Tammy Lister is joining us from where all the water fell, I think, during the call.
Yeah, I had a pond.
This week, I understand.
Yeah, I had a pond for a while.
Oh, no. However, rescuing her sanity is going to be the following thing. It's a haiku, which I've got to read out. And AI did this, right?
Yeah.
How good is it at that?
Yeah. Honestly. So I basically pointed my website and my bio and my LinkedIn into AI and got it to write a haiku for myself.
But is this the first thing that it spat out, or is this like number 58?
Yeah, no, this is the raw first one. I just did one.
Is there a way to read haikus? Do you have to sort of develop like a lilt in a certain way, or do you just read it? No, you just stick it. No, okay, just go for it. Okay, here we go. So this is what an AI wrote about Tammy, having looked at her website. Edges, not the end. Thoughts unfold in quiet code, making space to think. Gosh, that's actually quite profound. That's better than I could have done.
I just asked her to do it. A limerick about myself, and I will just tell you, don't do that.
Okay. Yeah, limericks is a whole different thing, isn't it? Less profundity.
Actually, it was pretty fun, but yeah.
Oh,
it's not bad.
Just came up with a phrase. Limericks are less profundity, more profanity. That's my expectation.
I'll actually put it in the chat so people can.
Okay, well, okay. Yeah, stick it over there. That's actually really cool because that does, that kind of encapsulates you really well, I think. Profound.
There you go.
Everybody go and write like a haiku with ChatGPT or equivalent and stick it
I
in.
I love that
comments.
Tammy's like thoughtful and like really put some energy into it. I want it to be a haiku. And I'm like, what body thing can it say about me?
Thank you. Okay, so about 2 minutes before we started the show, we realized that Tim didn't have a bio. So Tammy requested that Tim do what she did. Go and ask for a haiku from wherever it comes from.
She didn't say haiku. She just said poem.
Okay, so we've got a poem.
No, I said a D&D inspired poem. D&D inspired poem.
Here it comes. Tim Nash is our third guest today. There he is, Doom Speaker. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm all right.
Introduce yourself. See what we got.
Oh, no, you can refresh and do it yourself.
Oh, you've written it in. Oh, damn it.
This time you've got to use a bard voice.
Yeah, this was also the first shot.
Okay, but here we go. So this is what AI wrote about Tim. In the realm of press spell, what the heck is that? Brave Tim of Nash, word mage and guard of all your data, warded the castle WordPress with spells of two-factor dreams. His firewalls blazed, plugins danced as he vanquished vile hackermancers with a flash of his sanctified screen. God, this is good. Thou shalt not pass, he cried. This blade forged with salted hashes. Dark scripts wailed and crashed beneath his sacred HT access. What is actually bloody cool?
I mean, I feel like the thou shalt not pass might need it. I think they should have
copyright pending.
Honestly, Tim, quite pinched the source for that one.
If you'd have asked me to sum you up in about 100 characters, that's how I would have done it. Just exactly like that, verbatim. There's our panel. I'm Nathan Wrigley. I have nothing to say about myself, but all I'll say is, if you want to write your I shouldn't have said that, should I? I realize now that was your, Tammy's gone. She's off. She's getting but wrong.
She's like, what can I do?
I'm questioning whether we should go Monty Python.
Yes,
in the style of Sir Brave Robin.
Yes, do that. Do something out of the what's that film called? The meaning of life. No, The Life of Brian. Do something like that. That would suit me.
Oh, that's
not a brave. the Robin one, but okay, let's see what comes out. So it's supposed to be about WordPress. We'll get to that in a minute, but just to say a few bits of sort of housekeeping, I guess. If you want to contribute to this show, and I hope you do, because it does make the show a whole lot more interesting, then this is probably the best place to go. Head to this URL. Tammy's chin is on it right there. Go to wpbuilds.com/live. wpbuilds.com/live. She's hiding. And if you go there, you've got two options. The first one is to have a Google account, and you can log in like with the YouTube comments. It's on the right if you're on the desktop. And then if you don't want to do that, you don't have a Google account, you can just click the little live chat button inside the video player, and that'll open up a panel where you just pop your name in and it will give us the comments. Hopefully they'll come through. So yeah, once more, wpbuilds.com/live. Okay, right. Let's crack on with what we have got today. Firstly, let's say hello to the people joining us. First one is Ryan. Hello, Influence WP. Hello from sunny and hot Charlotte, North Carolina, US. Michelle Frechette's obviously joining us. Slightly cooler than normal Rochester. Reese Wynn, hello. Afternoon hello, from a surprisingly muggy Newton the Willows. Yeah, it's very muggy here, so much so that I have the state-of-the-art drying and cooling technology. Right, if Tammy's not happy with my fan, it's very outdated, apparently. And we're also joined by Maria Ansari. Hello. And she's waving, but it can't parse the waving emoji, so it just prints it out. Pink wave, handy wave thing. Hello, all says Aaron. Nice to have you with us. It's raining here in Islamabad right now. Gosh. There you go. We're all over the place, aren't we? All over the globe. How fabulous. Reese is back. I listened to the podcast on 1.5 speed. So the music seems so slow. God, is it like, what the heck is that like? Has my camera gone off?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a very dark cloud.
No, so I use my camera. So it's an SLR, you know, one of those things. And I used it this week. And I think I've misconfigured it when I put it back on its tripod just over there. So it'll probably happen periodically during the show. If it does happen, can one of you just yell and I'll switch it off and turn it back on again? But that's going to probably keep happening as we go. Do not listen to the podcast on 1.5. That must be torture, Rhea. Remind you it's over quicker. That's something to be said for it, I suppose. Elliot Sowersby from just down the road is saying hello. Thank you, Elliot. Patricia's joining us as well. That's really nice. Oh my goodness, it's John. It's Jonathan Overall. Of course, there we go. Morning from the West Coast in Canada. Hello. And then Dave is joining us.
Say West Coast. That said a warm, wet coast.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I can't read. A warm, wet coast of Canada. Sorry. I think he is on the West Coast, though, by coincidence. So that's kind of worked out all right. And then Dave joining us. His name is Ryan, not Charlotte. Did I call him Charlotte from Ryan? Did I say that? I'm very sorry if that's, in fact, what I did. Right, let's crack on. Here we go. This is the usual promotional stuff. This is us, WP Builds. If you like what we do and you want to keep updated, put your email into this field here and we'll send you two things. Once on a Tuesday, basically we package up this as an audio podcast and we'll stick that out in the morning tomorrow. And so that's one of the things you'll get. And then you'll also get an email when the Thursday podcast drops. This is the Thursday podcast. It's once a week. The most recent one was with Aurelien Denis, who's got a brand new plugin called MailerPress. And it's kind of like Gutenberg to build, it's inside of WordPress, it's Gutenberg to build emails. It's pretty cool, actually.
It looks really cool.
What's kind of interesting, I don't know if Tim, if you explored, you know how it looks like Gutenberg, so you think it's Gutenberg? It's not. They've just mimicked the Gutenberg UI, which I thought was interesting, because they ran up against a few technical limitations which they couldn't get over. So rather than build a proprietary UI, they just thought, well, let's just stick with that. So they mimicked it pixel by pixel. So it literally looks the same. So for me, that's great. I actually like that they did it that way rather than going their own route. So it's really familiar. Yeah, go and check it out, mailerpress.com. And then the last one to mention, oh no, that is it. So you can check out the episode there. As you can see from this little bit, we are sponsored this week by GoDaddy Pro, also by Bluehost and OmniSend. Thank you to them for keeping the lights on. And the final bit of promotional stuff from me, apologies, is I did a podcast with a fine person, Charlotte Bax, this week. We recorded it at WordCamp Europe a few weeks ago in, where the heck was it? Where did we go? Where did we all go? Oh, that's it. Yeah, we went to Switzerland, Basel. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it was all about how you can make your website carbon footprint a little bit less than it might be. You're never going to get it down to zero. But the idea is that you can maybe get your website footprint down a little bit. And so go and check that out. It's on the WP Tavern website in its episode 177. Okay, so the podcast, the way it works now is we just sort of allow the guests to bring their stories that they've got and that they think are interesting over the last week or so. And so we're going to start off with Tammy. Did Tammy give this one or was this a Tim one? I think it was a Tammy one. Is it Tammy one? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to hand it right over to you. It is called AI Building Blocks for WordPress. It's James LePage, who is like the chief, I suppose, of AI in WordPress. We say we're automatic anyway. Tell us why we're looking at this. Tammy, what's got you?
Yeah, so it's the roadmap has been released. It outlines all the details. It's got everything that's kind of going to be built. So you can kind of go into each one of these, look at going from the client to the abilities to the adapter, everything. So it's really like a good kind of starting point if you want to know everything that's going to be going on from an AI perspective. So that's kind of why I shared it, because it starts. And the approach is that everything, all of these is going to avoid that kind of vendor lock-in. It's going to support multiple AI providers. It's going to allow for adoption. It's going to really make AI accessible to more people by doing this approach and having this combination of things that combined have this foundation. So it's like you're starting put a post to then be able to go and explore all these different ones. Each one's going to have a repo or has a repo, and then the projects are going to be focused around that. And then going to the core AI Slack, of course.
It's been quite some time. I don't use X very much, but occasionally I log in just to see what people are sharing. And it's been quite some time since I saw people sharing things as much as this one got shared. This seems to be really popular. It's obviously a lot of people loving AI and what it can do for them, but I think everybody's been doing their own thing. And then this team got announced, but then we didn't really know what the team was up to. And now they've fired the starting gun, really, haven't they? They've given us an idea of what's coming.
Yeah, there's been a lot of information before this, leading up to this, about like the public information about where it's been going. You can kind of trace it back, but this is really this is now what we're shaping.
And the idea, as you said, is to basically make AI available kind of pretty much everywhere inside your WordPress website, in all the places, in a whole different variety of ways. Yeah. And there's three focuses to begin with: PHP AI Client SDK. Yeah. Abilities API, MCP adapter.
And the experiments plugin is really cool. If you're going to go into that.
The experiments plugin rolls all together, doesn't it? Does it like encapsulate?
But it's going to be where you'll get to see how to. And one of the good things is it's all very well and good. We're using lots of words and we're using lots of technology, and that's great to see. But how do you then learn how to do this and how to implement it? Well, you learn by what we've always done in open source projects, seeing people build cool. And that's kind of what you're going to be able to see in the experiments plugin. It's something we've done time and time again. And that's what I personally am hoping to see in the experiments plugin. It also means that other people who maybe are learning about AI can get involved. You can be able to jump into projects, designers, different other roles will be able to jump in as well and collaborate into those as well. So yeah.
One last thing to mention is, and honestly, we've spoken about them a lot on this show, but I can't think of one where it's actually come to pass this way. It's going to be a canonical and feature plugin. So the idea being that it will get that kind of guarantee, if you like, that it's going to be updated, secure, and up to date with the latest version of WordPress and compatible and all of that.
They're going to use a combination of those.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. Okay, so thank you for bringing that one. Tim, Michelle, anything to contribute on that one?
Isn't it going to be nice when you can install a plugin and it will just pick up from your providers and bits that's inside WordPress Core and just work and not require you to jump through the 20 million pieces of hoops to use their particular provider to do this one thing that you don't actually care about anyway, but it wouldn't let you get past that wizard loading screen. which is what we're at the moment. We're in a very wild west where it's like the SEO plugin. Yeah, it needs to use AI, so you have to use their your credentials there. Some of these are now trying to make things simpler. So they're saying, oh yeah, you've put in your credentials here, but really we're using it as a SaaS service on the back end, and we can be able to say, actually, no, I don't want anything like that happening. I want to keep things local and controlled. And in theory, we can even say, right, I'm actually going to load this to the local LLM that's sitting on the web server. Might be a bit slow.
Yeah.
But you could do that as well. So you can, with it, ultimately, we're going to be in a much better place to at least control everything. Though there is part of me that's like, I really wish MCP was a little bit more less wild westy. But that's, you know, we have the XML RPC in WordPress core. We can't ever complain about MCP servers.
So just to reprise that a little bit, so Tim, if somebody's listening to this, just to explain your piece, is that there'll be this sort of central place where you can put the connections. So if you've got multiple connections to, I don't know, whatever's popular at that moment in time, you don't have to then farm it out to, let's say, the SEO plugin. The SEO plugin can go to this and say, are there any credentials? If so, let's use that. That kind of...
They're not even using the credentials, so that's nicely locked away. It is just I'd like to make a request to this, the AI provider. Here is my prompt.
Okay, so the team's looking in pretty good shape, actually. 39 people have pledged time to contribute to this core AI team. James LePage is obviously in charge at the moment. So that was the first piece. Michelle, anything before we move on?
Nope.
Okay, in which case, we'll move on to the always terrifying to me, GitHub. And this is coming from James LePage, I'm guessing, by the slog here. But this is track MCP. Are we looking here at this thing here or not?
No.
What's going on here then?
So this is MCP from CoreTrack. So if you loaded this, and you could actually put this, and the instructions are really easy to follow. I was pottering around. I at time boxed myself at the weekend to do this into Claude, for example, and you wanted to query it, you could query the whole of CoreTrack, and you could start querying. There you go. See, it's not scary. It's cool.
No, that's not scary, but this is where I
and there's think actually AI... a link down there. So if you go down to the link into the repo,
This one,
and you'll be able to see what you could do. And that's not scary. It's not dark mode. It's not GitHub. It's all scary and happy.
So search things, get tickets, get change set, get timeline, get tracking.
But if you think about the combinations of those that you could do from a report base. You start seeing what kind of fun you could do.
What trends pop out and what things...
Well, also, and then how you could use those to do better ticket management.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Better gardening and better work on... And so part of this thing of triage, we've been like, can AI like solve our ticket problem? Well, sure, but with humans, we're not going to trust it. But we can work on the reports that it can help us with. And AI is really good at summarizing and helping us crunch data and pattern matching. And one thing it can really do is reports really, really well. And then we as humans can be the human touch on those reports.
I think I do actually trust AI in summary mode, if you know what I mean.
Summary mode, yes. Auto closing tickets, many people don't.
No.
I'm kind of cool with that, but I'm weird.
I think MCP with a write access to track, people might start panicking.
MCP that creates some reports that also we can look at, and we can curate the responses and kind of look at what reports it's doing and kind of get those. It's just helping us in summaries. AI is so good at the summary stuff. So that's kind of what we do.
I guess also the fact that the project's been going so long and there are so many of these data points, it's no matter how bright you are or how switched on your brain is or how long you've been in the project, you can't have that 10,000-mile high overview. You can.
And Track has reporting.
Yeah.
It has track reporting.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever tried...
Tim's giggling.
Tim has tried to do a track report. Yeah. And it's a little bit like trying to do a report from 10 years ago.
Okay.
20.
Years 20 years ago.
When it was actually built.
I've been really generous.
But also, this brings somebody who's a total novice right into sort of like right into the heart of it all, doesn't it? Because they can have an overview immediately.
Because you can load it into Claude, and any one of us in this conversation can put this into Claude, can put this very easily using the language that we, like human language, natural language, can query track without that barrier to it and understand tickets that way.
Okay, so I'll add this into the show notes, which will come out as a companion to this audio. But basically, it's if you go to GitHub, James LePage, James W. LePage, and then you're searching for the project called track-MCP, so the URL is, I guess, fairly self-explanatory. So you go and check that out. Okay, now I'm less scared. That's not quite as bad as I was imagining. I always think the sky is falling in, but
like my mission to get you intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the next couple of bits have got me really intrigued because I've sort of skirted around news stories, you know, in regular press where they talk about what AI will be able to do, for example, for cancer diagnosis and things like that. And you've brought a couple of pieces to bear. First one, MedGemma. I hope I've pronounced that right. This is Google Research, research.google.com. No, it isn't. It's research.google. Of course, they've got that domain. Mm-hmm. Our most capable open models for health AI development. And go on. Why is this in the show? What's going on?
Yeah, here? So this is related to the next one. The next post is more a news post based on this. So it's open sourcing AI models to do with image detection. And one of the really cool things about this is it's not just like a lot of image detection models used to have multiple cards, multiple mass machines to do. The whole idea of this is to run on one single card and also also run on mobile devices. So it's basically making this technology not only easier, but also more accessible to people as well and open. And I don't know them off by heart, but the stats it has of the image recognition that it has and the it's incredible. So it just means that backlogs can be worked through that at the small end of this, but at the higher end, easier, better detection of things that maybe even the humans can't detect.
Yeah.
And as you were saying about we've maybe heard of cancer diagnosis being detected earlier than a human would be able to detect them and things like that. That's kind of like the big thing, but even detecting like a minor break that maybe a human couldn't see and things like that.
This is where I felt it was going to be super excellent. Show it a billion images and say, you know, there's a broken leg in this, there's a broken leg in that, but there isn't in this one. And then it just starts to draw those conclusions. And the idea that it can do that 24/7 overnight while the doctors, you know, are sleeping. And if you can do it on a mobile phone, yeah, this is a miracle. I mean, it's an actual miracle.
And the thing of Google making it open and more accessible means that potentially a lot of this technology was available if you had the big machines and you had the big, in your hospital, if you had the city hospital with the lots of money, but this will be accessible to the locations that didn't have that. And that's kind of the thing that this empowers people.
There's going to be a whole new breed of people, hypochondriacs, uploading images of their own stuff. Like, I think I've got this.
I mean, they already do that.
To me, it just really means that I live rurally and to driving, and as people are aging, having to drive to healthcare is a lot. The fact that people can be able to do that is amazing.
Okay, let's ask Michelle if she's got any thoughts on that before we move on.
I think I've been chatting with my mom a lot lately about AI because she's, you know, older and she's very anti-AI and I get it. I understand. She thinks, you know, it's telling her what to do and she logs into Facebook, things like that. But also I think that there's, you know, it's never going to replace everything, obviously. There's a Netflix documentary I watched recently on how the New York Times has been using crowdsourcing for diagnosing or at least suggesting diagnoses for these cases where doctors are completely stumped. And in many cases, because of the collective's diagnoses and symptoms, have been solving a lot of these issues for people and bringing closure, even if it's not something that can be healed, something where they can at least feel like I'm not crazy. And yeah. So I think that there will always be a need for both. And I love the idea that we didn't ever crowdsource things really before the internet, not easily. And that we're able to do crowdsourcing because of the internet. We're able to do these AI models because of the internet and technology that we're pulling together. And I think it's just brilliant, all of it, when it's combined.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised also that Google, I don't know, I have intuitions about Google these days, and 10 years ago they were all good. Now they tend to go in a negative direction by default. So I'm very, very proud of Google for taking a step.
Would it make you feel better if you knew that there was a lawsuit on its way?
What about this?
That's why they opened it up.
Oh, really? Okay. So that maybe is what's going on here. So Max joins us. Hello, Max. He says, yeah, they had that model already in previous versions, but they didn't release it. It's truncated, so I'll read it off my screen. This is the first time they're releasing it. It was out.
I feel like Tim's doomsaying us.
Yeah, now they have a big disclaimer.
But by doing that, you really are in a scenario where as Tammy was talking, I was thinking, what this also opens up is the fact that we can have like X-ray equipment that would have been.
Yeah.
That people would have been going and buying like this really state-of-the-art X-ray equipment, which with all of this stuff embedded in. But then the old equipment, well, that can now be reused and repurposed. That could be sent somewhere that doesn't have an X-ray machine.
Yeah.
And now they don't need, it's still an X-ray machine. They probably should have a radiographer or at least some from their aprons, but they don't necessarily need, beyond that technician, the person, the rest of it comes on a laptop. And even if they're old school and they're like, you know, they're even having to get these X-rays and they're analog X-rays, and then they're taking a photograph and putting it into that machine. That can all be done locally on this on an LLM, on a beefy chunks, you know, rugged laptop. That's pretty amazing. You can actually imagine almost an ambulance style setup where it's you get a mobile X-ray machine in, and in certain parts of the world where they just don't have access to that sort of equipment, that's got to be worth doing alone. And that's what the open side of this does, because these big models and things will exist, and they already exist, and somebody's going to, you know, X-ray machines in, but even now, but I'm sure in 2-3 years time, the new X-ray machines are going to have all of this built in, and it'll all be very whizzy and also billions of pounds. Whereas by open sourcing it, we have the opportunity to go, right, let's hack something together and come out that way. And that's really where I think the power of this goes.
I'm very pleased to announce that unless something dramatic happens in the next half an hour, I've already got this week's title. And it is what Tim just said, Beefy Chunks. Just awesome. That's going to be the episode. Honestly, that just repelled all three of you. I just thought it was profound. I might go with Beefy Chunks laptop. Let's see. A few more things just from our guest. Hello, Zach, joining us. He says he's a very tired photographer in Mansfield, Ohio. Thank you for joining us. Patricia says that I pronounce Aurelien's name in an almost perfect French accent. I don't know if you're being kind or if that's actually the truth. Thank you. Hello from Helsinki. Hello, Vladimir. Nice to have you with us. Jackson is joining us from Puglia, I want to say, but I'm not entirely sure. And Max is joining us from Berlin. Keep the comments coming. Max has followed up. Oh, sorry, Michelle. We keep doing that, don't we? There we go. Demi Hassabis, I guess that's a person, is a big proponent of this entire movement. Must be to do with this AI. Also with AlphaFold. And there is a great movie about him called The Thinking Game. Yeah. Thank you, Max. That was incredibly informative and helpful. That's brilliant. Very cool. Okay, so I think we've moved away from Tammy's bits and pieces. We're now on to doom speaking with a capital D. And the first
lowercase s.
Yeah, lowercase s. That's right. Yeah, it's not all bad. And here it comes. So we featured this article in the most brief terms because, frankly, I don't know what I'm on about. And so we've got Tim. This is PatchStack, Gravity Forms. Tell us more.
So, the reason I wanted to bring this back was partly because we live in a world where we have like really short press cycles, and, you know, especially when it comes to security vulnerabilities, they pop into our feeds, people go, and then the next thing that they're screaming and you completely forget it. And I think this was quite important, not least because in the last couple of days, I'd found several clients who still have an unpatched version of Gravity Forms. So Gravity Forms themselves aren't on the WordPress plugin repository. They're a paid-for plugin, and you get the plugin by... There are different sources, but ultimately you get the plugin by going to Gravity Forms and downloading it and installing it at some point, how that mechanism. At some point, their site got hacked. And some kind person decided to replace the Gravity Forms plugin and just put some extra spiciness in for you.
Okay.
And so for a brief period of time, Gravity Forms was distributing a nulled version of that own plugin, which so this has led to obviously them fixing a bunch of stuff, but it does mean there was a period of time when people could have downloaded a version that wasn't what they were expecting. And so this is one of those reminders of public service, a reminder that this happens to everybody. Even a plugin company who is very reputable. The folks at Gravity Forms do an excellent job. Things like this always happen. It doesn't matter how big you are. There is always the opportunity for bad things to happen. But also, just go and double check you have the latest version. And if you did get one of the versions compromised, if you scroll down, it does say which, what periods and rat bits in there. If you have got that in that period, you may want to go and have a very careful look at your site, as it may be serving malware right now, which would not be ideal.
Because a minute ago you said it served up a nulled version, and when I hear that, I always feel like they've, I don't know, stripped out the license or something like that.
But
this was more. It was actually distributing some malware onto...
It was, yes. Yeah. So it shows you the payload a bit further down. And I mean, a nulled plugin is normally, as you say, one that removes the license code. But in this particular case, I always probably used the term a bit too loosely. But yeah, it has malware in it. Bad. Don't. You need to update is basically the message if you haven't already. But if you do update, do pay attention and look for some of the signs of compromise.
Okay.
And if you did have the plugin installed with the versions that have been referenced from Gravity Forms directly themselves, it is probably worth you looking, at least doing a couple of site-based Google searches for your website, just to make sure that you're not seeing any pages in there in the SERP index that you wouldn't recognize. And just keep an eye if you've got Search Console, then make sure you've signed up for alerts from there as well, just on the off chance that you may have inadvertently started serving up malware to your visitors, which would be unfortunate.
Yeah, and Tim, just, I've no idea if you'll know the answer to this question, but should somebody have had a problem with their website, do you know of any, like, security guy in the WordPress space that might be able to help them with that?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. They don't exist. I mean, there's... there are a range of reputable sources of people you can go to.
timnash.co.uk. That's all I'm saying. Okay, thank you for that. So obviously, I guess this is a big target, this kind of thing, because if you can hack one thing, and in the case of Gravity Forms, I'm going to put my guesswork hat on and say they're probably into the millions of installs. I don't know if that's the case, but certainly they're one of the big players, aren't they? They've been around for decades, as it were. So if you can get this, you're obviously going to distribute it for that period of time far and wide. It's got a big target on its back. So do as Tim says, go check that out. Okay, there was more from Tim, and this is let's just give it a bit of a teaser. We're going to relate to this XKCD article in a moment, but Tim used to work in the hosting space. This is on the repository. A new trust seal backed by WordPress hosts aims to set the standard for ethical hosting. So outline this and what you think about it, Tim.
So we all want our hosting companies to be ethical. We all would like them to be secure. We'd all like them to be many things, including probably cheap, but we definitely want, secure and ethical. And you'd think that the idea that maybe if a bunch of them got together, I think it's 24 companies got together, they created an alliance, which sounds very cool. Where basically that means they created a committee to decide amongst themselves how to create a standard for and give themselves a shiny badge for how good they are at their security. And this isn't digging, being mean on too many of them. There are some really reputable, good companies amongst this. And anybody who says we want to improve security and we should think about how to do this, that's a good step forward. What it does appear, though, is that there was a lot of talk and not enough substance, which maybe that will follow. But they have basically created themselves a shiny badge to say how good they are at security and it as part of their Trust Seal program. And they're coming up with a standard that the companies who want to join their alliance would have to meet. Now, we have those standards already, SOC 2, ISO 2701. There are lots of information security compliance standards. There are lots used by hosting companies, which then makes you go, what's this? And I think, so when I put this in, I thought it was an interesting story because it's really nice to see hosting companies working together because they quite often can be quite a lot of competition with each other. But in this particular case, it did feel very much like, there's too many standards. What should we do? Well, we'll create a standard that will combine everything. Well, now we have another standard,
right?
And nothing coming from it.
And we're viewing an article, a comic from the wonderful XKCD, where they make that exact point. We had 14 standards. Let's make a new one to encapsulate all 14, and then the outcome is we have 15 standards now. Okay, so go check it out. That was on the repository, and let's see. I guess you're not saying it's entirely without merit, but it's more the devil will be in the detail down the road, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is too easy to end up in these scenarios which become effectively pay to have a badge. And if they're backed by genuine standards and they all get together and go, right, actually, we are going to say that we're going to go beyond the existing standards, that you have to meet those ones, and then you have this even extra bit, and we're going to combine forces, and we're going to have various testing in place, and everything's going to be great. That's brilliant. I'd love to see that. What I fear is that the most important thing for them out of all of this is, can we get a shinier badge? And can we make it bigger? And can it go on the homepage? Nathan, you need to turn your camera out.
I can see that. Thank you. So that's now episode number 2. We'll see how many times this happens during the course of this episode. But it's so that I reckon is about every 20 minutes. That's my guess. I need to look out again in about 20 minutes time, hopefully. Okay, so thank you for that one, Tim. That's on the repository. Again, links in the show notes. And then finally, from Tim, this was a really hot piece of news a few weeks ago. It was announced not at WordCamp Europe, but at the same time in a sort of bolt-on event, controlalt.org. And it is about the FAIR plugin. And you brought this to our attention. So this is Pantheon's website. The article, it actually is not called, the article is called All's FAIR, Why WordPress Needs a Decentralized Package Management System. But you deep link to this bit. What does the FAIR plugin do? Or at least I think you did.
I don't actually remember deep linking it, but I can tell you about the article itself. The reason I wrote this, big announcement, I was on the show, the show after it was announced.
Yeah.
And I was somewhat critical of the launch and the fact that they didn't have hosting companies on board, and I felt that there was a little bit of it was going to be very stunted, because until you had that backing and somebody coming down the hill with you, it's going to be really hard for them to pick up the momentum. So why I found this article so interesting is, and I'm not surprised that it's Pantheon. If I had to pick the larger host who might jump first, they would have been high up on my list. But Pantheon are basically now trialing FAIR for their customers, so that when you create a Pantheon site, there's a chance that you will be using the FAIR plugin and FAIR bits behind the scenes, and they are experimenting with that, and the Aspire Press mirrors for WordPress.org. This is great, because once you have this one hosting company goes, they are like rabbits. They will all go at the same time. You just need to get one to start running, and the rest will follow very quickly. So it's really nice to see that somebody's doing it. It still feels like there was a little bit of a disconnect, and if they could have just got everybody lined up, I imagine that there might have been a bit more momentum right now. had they had managed to get Pantheon to say that they were going to be trialing it at WordCamp Europe. So hopefully this now will start that process and start building on. And I think we'll start seeing the smaller hosting companies who have not less to lose because they still have their customers and they want their customers to have the best experience possible. But they will be able to, the smaller companies which are a bit more, have a little bit more wiggle room, will start now testing as well. Now that they've seen at least one of the major inverted commas hosts starting to trial it.
You'll be able to see if it all collapses or if it's a complete runaway success, or in fact, if even any of the customers notice, I suppose.
I feel like yep. probably wanted that in the other order. How great it is.
But the
answer really should be the last one. Customers shouldn't notice, especially at the moment with the Aspire Press mirror. And there shouldn't, from a customer's perspective, it should be exactly the same, other than maybe that when they go and do the search for WordPress, what they think is WordPress.org, when they go and type in add a new plugin, that might have slightly different plugins by default. But they, when they search, they might get better search results back if they're really lucky. We'll see.
They probably went with the announcement at the event just because that event was at that time and they had most of their ducks in a row. And also the people probably could, all be in the same room at the same time. But I wonder if there were intuitions about this dropping back then. I suspect there probably were. I don't know how quick it is to turn this kind of thing around in a company like Pantheon, but I don't suppose it's overnight.
I imagine that it's quicker for somebody like Pantheon than, let's say, GoDaddy Mass. But it's still not a quick process, and it's there's still both engineering things, but there is also marketing, and to a certain extent, I'm sure there has to be some sort of legal stuff where some lawyers have to sit down and go, is this right? Should we be doing this? Can we do this and get that signed off as well? So I imagine it's not a simple process of just somebody saying, well, I'm going to do this and flick the switch.
Zach has got a very profound comment, perfect for you, Tim. It says, I think people with security issues need a good doomsayer. And Tim is a good doomsayer. He's not a bad one. Can I just say, Tammy, when you move out of your chair, because of the nature of what it's made of, the sort of like, I don't know, weave or something, it gives me the most profound visual. It's really like, are you seeing that? Is anybody else picking up on that? It's like, it's kind of phasing in and out. It's like, just move it around a little bit. It's pretty cool. It's like one of those screensavers from the 1990s. It's kind of wobbling. I have not taken any illicit chemicals, I can promise you. Okay, anybody on that before we move on? That's a no. Okay, in which case, well, thank you for those, Tim. Appreciate it, Tim and Tammy. Then we'll move on to Michelle's bits and pieces. Michelle, she mentioned this a few weeks ago, but you got another one coming up soon. It is...
We have one this Wednesday,
speednetworkingonline.com. Yes. Tell us what you can expect if you were to sign up to participate.
Yeah, so speednetworkonline.com is once a month we do speed networking. As many people are in the room, we divide it out over 90 minutes, and so you can have as few as 5 minutes one-on-one conversations with other people. We don't have quite as, I think summer is set in, so people are doing other things. So we have a few less this month, so perhaps you'll have up to 10 minutes even to chat with somebody else. And we match you up every 10 minutes to 5 minutes. You switch to a new person. You are able to talk about yourself, listen to what they have to say. At the end of it, we send you all everybody's contact information from that event. And so you don't even have to worry about taking down names and numbers and email addresses and all of those things. It's just a great way to connect with other people that you might want to do work with, send work to, learn more about, build your network. So it's all about, it's like speed dating, but it's speed networking. And it's all online so that it's literally people all over the world that you may want to build a network with.
And Wednesday, the 23rd of July is the next. What time? Which time zone?
It is.
Basically.
So it is at 2 p.m. In Rochester, New York. So an Eastern time, which would put it at 7 p.m. I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
In the UK, yeah.
Actually, that's kind of the ideal sort of time, actually, if you think about it from a UK perspective, because you're already knocked off from work. So there we go. The URL once.
How do you do the matching? Is it literally Michelle going, I like him?
Yeah.
And, oh, him.
I literally just make a spreadsheet and slide the names down one at a time.
Nice. We'll do it. Yeah.
And then we use Zoom rooms so that you are one-on-one in a Zoom room with another person. I close the rooms. You come back out to the main room, get reassigned out to the next person. So
nice.
You should put the bios together and then see what AI comes up with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That sounds like too much work. Randomizing is a lot easier. There's a small fee. We do charge $20 so that people will actually be invested in showing up. Because we all know if something is free, people will be like, I'm not going to go this month. But networking is important to make sure you're in the room because you're letting other people down if you sign up and you don't come. Oh. So.
There we go. So that's speednetworkonline.com this coming Wednesday. And then you wanted to mention WordPress Accessibility Day. Announcing...
Yes. And don't you love, there's a dark mode and a light mode on this.
Yeah, it's really nicely done, isn't it? That toggle, as you would imagine, is really, really exactly what you want. Yeah, perfect.
Accessible. Yeah. So we have our keynote. We've announced our keynote speaker, who is Vitaly Friedman from Smashing Magazine. He's the co-founder and editor-in-chief. And he will be giving a talk on, I just had accessible design patterns for 2025.
Nicely done. So when is the actual event happening? What's the day?
It's on my birthday, October 15th, the 16th of the 24-hour event with plenty of speakers. So you'll have an opportunity to, and they're all recorded, of course. So if you can't miss, if you can't make one that you really want to see, it will be available online eventually. But this was all done through Zoom. And so you have to sign up. It's free to attend. You do have to sign up. Our tickets are not available yet. They will be coming soon.
Okay. So 2025.wpaccessibility.day if you want to find out more.
Yes. But
you now at least know one of the speakers, the keynote being done.
Yeah. The rest will be announced soon.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Okay. Segueing from one event to another, this one in person, though, this is LoopConf, which is taking place in the UK. Pretty soon, actually, I want to say in like a month's time, something like that,
two months.
Thank you. And this is just to say that obviously, you know, if you are in the London area or in the UK, this is going to be right up your street because it is, in fact, in the heart of London. But one of the things you didn't know until this moment, perhaps, is who the speakers were. And the first round of speakers have dropped, and you can see them here if you're watching the video. But if not, you've got forgive the name butchering, Ivelina Dimova, who is the senior developer RAD team at Awesome Motive. We've got Rashmi Nagpal, who is into machine learning over at PatchStack. Ross Wintle, who is a software developer over at WP Engine. And Ryan McHugh, who is the director of product over at Human Made and one of the main thrusts behind the FAIR project as well. So there you go. If you go to loopconf.com, you'll be able to find it and get yourself some tickets. I think they're selling on a kind of like an inflated, you know, like the scarcity ticket model. In other words, if you buy them sooner, well, they're cheaper.
There's only a limited number of tickets. It's a really venue.
I know they had a few at a discounted rate, and I think they've gone through those already, so the rates are sort of creeping up. What are the dates? Let's see if we can find it. There you go, September the 25th, and it's in the middle of London. Speaking of London, I might as well just put this one up as well, because it does kind of match. WPLDN.
There's a WPLDN the day before, isn't there?
Yeah, so we normally do. So there was a conflict on the calendar. LoopConf ended up being on the same day as WPLDN. And we decided that we'd move WPLDN because the LoopConf thing, they'd already booked their venues and everything. And our venue is more flexible because it's, you know, smaller and we don't really have much in the way of catering and stuff like that. So if you are coming to LoopConf and you want to kind of extend your WordPress-y thing, the night before LoopConf, WPLDN will be happening. So essentially you could come fly into London if you're going to do that or get the train or what have you, come to WPLDN on Wednesday and then, you know, get up the next morning and go off to LoopConf. So yeah. And if you are somebody that likes speaking at these events or want to sort of stretch yourself and give yourself a first try, this is a really perfect auditorium to do it. We normally have, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people in the room. It's very, very informal. It's a nice atmosphere, basically. And if you want to do that, if you want to make use of that and you want to become a speaker, head to this URL. It's wpldn.uk /speak, and we just ask a few basic questions about you and whatnot. And we'd love for you to come, especially on that night if you're coming in for LoopConf. So LoopConf is on the Thursday the 25th, WPLDN will be on Wednesday the 24th of September, and it would be nice to see you there. I think that's it from Michelle. Have we covered all of the bits and pieces you wanted to cover? Yeah, I sort of segued to LoopConf there, didn't I? Sorry. Okay, let's get into some sort of specifically WordPressy stuff. Nothing to add here. There's a whole load of links that you can click if you want to see exactly what's dropped in WordPress 6.8.2. But just to say, you know, if you haven't done it already, just make sure that your WordPress got updated or is in some kind of like funnel to be updated. 6.8.2 dropped. Can't remember when it was, but it was basically over the last few days. That's really all I've got to say about that.
Also, as part of that 6.8.2 release, that means that they've made some changes for security updates for older versions. Yeah. So you need to, if you're running old versions of WordPress, you need to pay attention as to which versions are now going to get security updates.
Wait, I totally missed that. In all of my endeavor to cover everything, that one totally passed me by. What does that even mean? Tell me more.
I'll tell you what, pop it back on the screen.
I took it away at the exact wrong moment. There we go.
If you scroll down just a little bit, you can see the actual bits there. But yeah, so basically, WordPress versions 4.1 through to 4.6, which is not, 4.6 is not the end of the sort of 4-point line, but they are dropping those releases, which will make everything 10 times easier. If you're on WordPress version 4.1 point something, don't be on something else. If you're so adamantly against Gutenberg and the full site editing, the classic editor exists, but it is very worth your time to update. We're very close to a point where just the sheer amount of work to backport any bugs and issues into these older versions is consuming so much time that it's just not worth it doing it for the increasingly small group of people. I think they cut off as 5%.
Okay.
It might be even less than that. It might be I said that and I was like, that sounds really large. It might be 0.5%.
Yeah.
And they might be able to say.
I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm plus wondering about the backporting, having been part of it. It's just like, no.
So Tim, did 6.8.2, did that make the break? So, or is it that this is your last chance?
So what happened when part of this release was backported all the way through to basically give you a very nice looking modal, sort of like the box at the top, which basically says, you're doomed, please update now. The only thing I would say was I really liked the original. I saw the original mock-up, which was it was going to be in bright red, with full on just the message was pretty much just update. There was no other context to it, just update. And I was like, I feel we should go with that. The version that is actually been produced is much more in keeping with the color schemes for WordPress and the traditional style of a notice box. And there's a lot more words, which I appreciate. I understand why that was the case. But honestly, I think a big button that just says, you need to update now, press it. might have been more effective. But if you're on an older version, to be honest, if you're someone's on 4.1 through to 4.6, they're probably not listening to this podcast.
No, that's honest. True.
These are going to be mostly abandoned sites or sites that are running on autopilot. They're going to be the sites that you built for your friend 8, 9 years ago, and you haven't checked up on your friend how they're doing in a while. they're those sort of sites. In many ways, by sort of ending the support, it doesn't matter what messaging you send, those sites have sort of been left in that state to decay, and so they're not good. They're never going to see. The chance of anybody human actually seeing those messages is probably relatively slim, but at least it's worth a try.
Okay. It'd be seen by one human being, but nevertheless, worth for that one. Okay. Thank you. I read it. I bet I didn't understand it. So that's been great context. Thank you for that. Also, Zach is back. Oh, it rhymes. Nice. I definitely enjoyed last month's speed networking event, says Zach. So there you go, a little bit of a hat tip. A nice pat on the back to you, Michelle.
Excellent.
From Zach. That's lovely.
Thanks.
So go and sign up. Right. Okay, let's move on. Oh, unless either of you two, Tammy or Michelle, have you got anything about this update? Probably not.
I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Thought so. Right, okay, let's move to this one then. This is a nice community story. Felix Arndt, who is, I think is part of the team that's doing all of the AI bits and pieces. Yeah. I wonder, yeah, I thought
he's
so.
One of the team leads.
Yeah, one of the team leads. Well, he's written a few kind of posts that have got nothing, well, they've got to do with WordPress, but usually I think Felix is into the code and writing all of that, but he's done a few bits in the more recent past. There was one a couple of weeks back and now this one, which are much more community related. And this just hit me really, it just hit me perfectly. I thought this was so worth writing from his point of view. So Felix is now in that enviable position where he's kind of got himself established. He's been employed by Google. He's got real credibility. He's built this foundation within the space, which basically now is brilliant. You know, you would employ him in a heartbeat, that kind of thing. But this piece kind of paints the picture. It wasn't always like that. It was full of kind of trepidation at the beginning and a ton of imposter syndrome. He uses that language rather a lot. But he's making the case for why WordPress was, with hindsight, WordPress was the right thing for him. And the one takeaway that I got basically was that he was able to work with no backstory on a project affecting millions of people. And he makes the point that if you were to be in corporate or something, can you imagine the interview process that would allow you, or the backstory and the CV and all of that, that would get you to the point where you were interacting with a piece of software that affected millions of people? It would be a fairly heavyweight thing. And he's saying you can sort of sneak in under the radar, basically. And I just thought it was a really nice story encapsulating this. And it summed up so much of why I think open source is great. There's nothing beyond that really to say, other than that I just thought this was a wonderful story. I know, Tammy, I think from what you said, you might have read it. So maybe you've got something you want to add to it.
Yeah. I think his impact is large on the project and the impacts of other people on the project. Like, that's the thing that what I got from this. It's actually celebrating, if I'm correct, his 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, that's right.
Which, he's one of those humans that feels like they've always been there in the best possible way. Even though I do remember them turning up, and that's kind of one of the ways. But the people that they've mentioned in their posts, giving them their story. And I think that's the thing, like, you turn up and these people give you the story. And then I know that Felix has got to share and create, be part of other people's stories, like passing it on. There's just something about this cycle of it. I plus one to that. You turn up in this project and you can make an impact, and you aren't always aware of the impact you're making. I think that's the thing, like this post looking back, and he absolutely has made an incredible impact, and it's incredible to see the work. He really makes little of the huge impact he's had.
Very humble, lovely, yeah.
Because vast impact and also incredible human, incredible work. But honestly, like that kind of like silent, quiet mentorship that I would say Felix embodies, and lots of people have embodied and passed on as well. Yeah, it's one of those, it reminds me personally of why I contribute things like this. And it is the fuel that can keep you going sometimes.
I know, like, basically this story has probably been written many times in the past, but I think it's easy to forget it.
But it's good to hear every
single exactly
time.
Right. It's just nice. It's just nice
and
to
hear more
again.
Of it.
That's, nice to hear a success story. Yeah. Yeah. Nice to hear a humble story. You know, there's just no bragging going on in here, even though there is plenty to brag about.
I'm not sure he can brag.
No, that's exactly really good what human. I mean. I am drawn to those people. I'm so drawn to those people. But also, like I say, that profound bit of you can fully start to engage with a community at almost any level with no, you don't have that CV, you don't have that backstory of, you know, I worked for Google for 10 years and all of that kind of stuff. So I just thought this was really nice. Tim, Michelle, anything to it?
I had him on the Cash App podcast for Post Status recently, following his 10 lessons in 10 years. What a delightful human he is. I mean, I've interacted with him over the years, of course, at events and things. He's just such a sweet, humble person. And you just want him to be your friend. He's
yeah.
so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Very knowledgeable and just, he has so much to share, for sure.
Yeah. Very, very bright indeed. Tim, anything, or should we move on?
Yeah. Dave's editor.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a really nice story. Okay, so we're bigging up the community. We love it. Everything's great. You know, oh, look at all the great things that you can do in WordPress. Fabulous. And then
I feel a however coming.
Yeah, there's a massive however.
But you know what?
I think all of us are going to have an opinion of this piece, but it doesn't mean that we can't air it and maybe dissect a few of the bits and pieces in here. So this is written by somebody called Noah Davis, and it's on the webdesignerdepot.com website. And obviously, my guess would be that Noah, a fairly long time ago, was a big advocate of WordPress, probably loved it and enjoyed it and all of that kind of stuff, you know, a bit like we were saying with Felix. But my guess also is that in the more recent past, it's become exactly the opposite. You know, it's more of a dislike and bordering on hatred, dare I say it, in many ways, the things that he's talking about. So this article sums it up very well in the title. And maybe we agree with some of this, you know, the slow implosion of WordPress 2025 and the CMS that's losing its soul. I am not going to be able to paraphrase it perfectly, but essentially he's got all of the usual laundry list of things, gripes, that he's put into one article. And the first one, he talks about a platform eating itself. So he, you know, he's talking about the outdated nature of things like PHP and MySQL and stuff like that. But then he goes on to talk about Gutenberg and the fact that really, who wants to use this? So he says now WordPress now sits uncomfortably between Wix and React. Too complicated for newbies, too primitive for modern devs. This one, you know, there's bits of this.
And so... That's not apples to oranges, though.
No.
That's confusing yeah. between.
I'll just quickly go through it, and then we'll go into the bits and pieces. I've got to say, so we're talking about monetization. There are bits of this which resonate with me, and he's talking about the fact that basically everything now is wrapped up in a paywall. That's obviously not true, but that's the kind of language he's using. And he says the ethos of just work, it just works out of the box, has been replaced with works after you've paid $500 a year in subscriptions. I can see that. The developer experience, he says, is a study in frustration. Again, you can read on the screen. I'll send you the link in the show notes tomorrow. The idea for a while seems to have lost its popularity now that it was going to be, everybody was going to be doing headless stuff. And then especially in the more recent past, the whole thing about automatic and the fact that maybe has gone corporate and we've got these two different ecosystems, the .com and the .org and what have you. And whether or not in the future, obviously things like FAIR, it's not a fork, I know, but it kind of maybe is kind of, you know, the beginnings of that kind of thing. At least that's the message I get here. His summing up, though, is it's not going to go anywhere. He reckons it'll be here in 2 decades' time, but he thinks that we've seen the zenith of it. And obviously, I would strongly disagree with more or less everything in here because of what I do and the people that I know and all of the, you know, the great stuff that we've seen and we talk about each week on this show. But I'm just going to hand it out. Does anybody have, is there any sympathy here, or is this just doomerism?
I have sympathy for any human that likes something or is passionate about something and uses it, and then the thing doesn't meet what they want. But there appears to be a tiny little bit of hyperbole going on. Some of the titles under most popular also indicate that maybe this human likes doing that.
Oh, you mean these? Yeah, I did see that.
So I want to kind of caveat that lens with this post. And I think sometimes when we read these posts, what we have to do is think about the human that's writing it and their reason and maybe what they're also trying to achieve with the post that they're writing or the thing that they're posting on X, because not everyone is posting. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why you're writing it as well is something to kind of be. But I'm going to put that to one side and think about the platform itself. It is the bit that kind of gets me is not comparing the correct things. And I think that is really important. to me, it seems like this person isn't inspired to be using the platform that once they maybe were inspired by. And that fundamentally is a challenge. And that could be that they can't work with it anymore. That could be from a dev rel perspective. But there's a lot of variations in language around that. And I'll let someone else kind of speak.
Okay. Tim, Michelle?
I think somebody who doesn't want to spend money either, quite honestly. I think that when you have an ecosystem around something like this, to expect that everybody does everything for free means you expect everybody not to have to actually put money on, you know, put food on their own table and pay their own rents and things like that. And that so much of what we offer still is available in the repo without having to pay for it, I think is the other side of what he's talking about. So I don't know.
Tim.
I always find it funny when he's like, oh my God, WordPress, you need all these plugins to do things. Oh, there's too many plugins. I hate the plugins. Oh, but we need to install all these plugins. That's too many plugins. Plugins are bad. Oh, but then I wanted to do this thing that it clearly was never designed to do. I'll just install that plugin. Oh, plugins are, I mean, frustrating.
Wait, like, and also he's like, put it all in core. Oh no, it's so bloated, right?
Exactly. Meanwhile going, I hate PHP. PHP is evil. PHP, why are they using React? Without stopping to take a breath at any point during that whole go. And some people will be like that. That's okay. WordPress, when you end up being sort of making your way to the top of the heap, people are going to throw mud at it. If you're lucky, if it's mud and tomatoes that get thrown at you and not something else, it's just the nature of how these things work.
Beefy chunks comes to mind.
Yeah, beefy, preferably not of laptops.
No.
But if we sort of peel away the veneer of what it's just the vile and the anger, it is, as you said, a laundry list of what most people complain about with WordPress. And we could go down each one of them. And I think each one of us could give very reasonable answers for why we don't think that's the case. And we're backed by a large percentage of the web that also uses this and presumably doesn't agree with this. I feel that maybe there has been a point where people have taken paths,
Nathan, your camera's glowing.
I know, that was exactly
true.
Sorry, Tim.
That's all right. People are taking a path and they've taken a path away. And the second you step away from something, oh yeah, it's bad, it's terrible, it's horrible. It's like the developer who does like .NET development or is a JavaScript developer, but only does full stack backend JavaScript stuff, telling you how horrible PHP was because they remember PHP from 10 years ago, not what it is today. And I feel that this is the case. He stepped away and he wants to justify his position. And that's all right.
But does he explain what he's using, or do they explain what they're using now?
No,
and I think that's the thing, curious that. Thing for me. I'm like, okay, so what cool thing are you building now? What are you building
about static site generators? About just a little bit up, further up, I think.
The headless bit, maybe.
There was definitely something.
Strappy payload content.
It's the next section up where he claims that nobody uses the REST API.
He says everybody's using GraphQL with third-party plugins.
Yeah, totally. Because nobody uses the REST API. It's never used in at all, ever.
We should ask Ryan about that. Kind of interesting. Tammy, can I challenge you with something? Maybe you can pull it off in the next few minutes. Could you ask your AI? And you obviously have all the fingers in the AI pies. I'd be interested to know if there is an upswing in this kind of a piece since about this time last year. I wonder if there's a negative sentiment that's creeping in and if it's possible to sort of discern that, or if this is just an isolated piece. The reason I found this curious is because my wheelhouse, if you like, is usually very much positive WordPress stuff. The people that I follow, the articles that I have in my RSS reader, it usually spits out to me very positive stuff about WordPress. So I was kind of surprised. I won't tell you where I found this one, but it was in a usual place. Somebody linked to it. They obviously had some sympathy with it. So I read it, but I don't normally come across stuff like this, which is why it was kind of curious to me. Tim, it sounds like you're like ready to start.
I was going to say, I certainly come across this sort of things quite a lot.
Okay.
I would say that I wonder if you were asking Tammy to go and ask ChatGPT or whatever for the data, I'd probably say if you asked it to roast WordPress, I suspect you'd get an article not dissimilar to this article.
Yeah. And also I would say so I have asked to scale it on a 1 to 5. So what I did was a prompt, just as a basic one, is the sentiment currently in blog posts and news around WordPress, typical ones and tangent ones, scale on a 1 to 5 going up. I've asked it to give me that. But also, if you go back to Gutenberg, I would have said we had quite a few during phase 1.
That was probably as hot as it ever got, I would have thought.
Yeah. So at the moment, it's giving, again, this is Claude, this is not me.
It's okay.
It is saying the WordPress sentiment analysis, based on what I just shared. Again, I'm not giving sources. I'm just literally giving a snippet. Mainstream is 3.5.
Does that skew a higher number, more positive?
One to five.
Yeah, is one a higher rank of sort of positive sentiment?
No, five is positive, the highest.
Oh, okay.
So 3.5 is mainstream typical. Critical negative sentiment. Developer community is 3 out of 5.
Interesting.
So it says overall weighted 3.2 out of 5.
Okay. So it's not entirely doom speaking.
Not at all.
No, I'm fascinated.
The security industry, though, the Tims of the world, okay. 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, it's bad. It's brutal over there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was going to say, you find a piece of software that will also score higher than that.
This is interesting. And this relates, though, the tangent perspective. Security industry, 2.5 out of 5. That tracks. And I would have said that's always tracked. Advocates, 2 out of 5. That's always tracked, because if you think of the developer advocates, they've always tracked for different things because they're writing about different things. Enterprise, 3.5 out of 5. Again, that always tracks. And developers, 3 out of 5.
But those numbers are broadly in line from what you said with expectations. It would be fantasy to expect.
But that's like one prompt.
Okay. Yeah, of course. But no, that is interesting. I think we should explore this AI stuff a little bit more on another show at some point. Yeah, that's right. No, that was good though. That was really useful. Okay, so anyway, whoever you were, what's your name? You are Noah Davis. I am sorry that it hasn't worked out for you, but you're welcome back at any point, and we'll buy you some biscuits or something just to sweeten the deal. How does it sound, Noah? Give us
just to make sure we're not going to buy biscuits for every single person we're welcoming.
Just Noah.
Just checking, because I don't think we've got the budget.
No, we haven't. It's only Noah. Okay, let's move on very quickly. I just want to mention a couple of things. This first one, I'm not logged into X. I've got this fairly poor UI here, but it was to say that Mike McAllister posted this thing this week, and it's a video, so I'll have to explain with words, I'm sorry, but he thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if you had repeated elements on a WordPress page that were basically identical to others? So what we're looking at is a grid here. So think of it like I don't know, an info grid or something like that, where there's 6 titles, little H3s, H4s, something like that, followed by 6 paragraphs. Each of them have got a paragraph and what have you. And if you wanted to change the style, let's say you wanted to change the color of the title from green to blue, wouldn't it be a good idea if some sort of software in the background could say, do you want to do all of them at the same time? And so that's what he's built. And I just think that's absolutely brilliant. What a great idea. I don't know if this has been achieved elsewhere in WordPress's history, but well done, Mike. Like, identified a total normal problem that I'm sure we all have and kind of fixed it. So that's, I guess it's coming in Ollie, which is the theme that he's got, the full site editing theme. But Tammy, there was another thing you said he did this week as well, which you think is cool.
So Mike's been really proactive and advocating for the ICOM, so Nick Diego's ICOM blog to be put into core and or at least to be considered. And he pushed for this again, and it's been reinvigorated. Yeah, that's the word I'm going to use, apparently, in GitHub. So, again, Mike is really good at spotting good things to put into core. he's been kind of active doing that. I personally, there's a few people on X that like, I try to maybe once or twice a day to check it. Or when someone really tells me something interesting over there, it's a lot. It's big space. But Mike is someone that, honestly, if you follow someone and you want to find some good stuff, like he's constantly doing some good stuff on X.
He recently, as part of his Ollie project, he released a load of free educational materials around full site editing. So I don't think it's bound to Ollie, so maybe that's worth checking out as well. But great idea, Mike. You have, I think if you've pulled that off, which it certainly looks like you have, I think that's brilliant. What a great idea. Zach is already asking for the free biscuits. Zach, you've got to go away, write a really, really like doomster article, then have it featured on this show, then come back to the community. At that point, I'll give you some biscuits. How does that sound? Is that a deal? Okay, everybody's nodding. Okay, great. We've got the budget for that. It's been approved. The committee have nodded.
I mean, we are talking value biscuits.
And he has
he has to come to the UK to the LDN to have the value biscuits given to him.
We're not getting the 5mm.
And we're talking
chocolate.
English biscuits, right?
Yeah. You're getting the simulation chocolate that's a millimeter thick.
Is it Bourbon or custard creams or Jammy Dodgers?
They'll do, yeah. Knock off.
Okay.
Nobody outside of the UK has a clue. okay, so well done, Mike, is what I think we're basically saying there. So we're in a bit of a rush. This is another one. Look, it's Felix again. It is the Felix Hunt show, isn't it? What the heck? Felix has launched into the wild. It's been a while. It's not like super, super, super new, but view transitions. Oh, I mean, where have you been all my life? It's like you've made a website into a mobile phone application. So, you know, like, let's say you've got Spotify and you play a song and then you tap on the little icon of the song and somehow the UI just changes, the image grows and it sweeps into this different place. View transitions, which is leveraging the browser capabilities. It's not a WordPress thing, it's a browser thing. You can now make it so that you can go from one page to another in a more, how to describe it, a transition-y way. Okay, we'll go with that, transition-y way. And go check it out. It's free. It totally works as far as I'm aware. I've seen people implementing it in the wild over the last few weeks. And you can make cool things happen. Like, I don't know, you click on a title and the title then grows and occupies the space where the title would be. Very, very nice indeed. It makes the whole web suddenly feel like a journey and not just a bunch of waypoints where you click, wait, click, wait, click, wait, click, wait. It's just like you're just constantly moving through something.
And imagine the WordPress admin interface with that in.
That's I think one of the most profoundly interesting bits of it altogether. You know, like you click on a WordPress post and somehow you transition into it. It's lovely, isn't it? What a great idea. So Felix, I think Felix would get a biscuit this week. Should we have them? I'm not saying we're not starting.
I think Felix would get to choose. You know, the family selection you get at Christmas, he'd get the first choice of a fresh box of that.
I think I'd give him four of the Kit Kat.
Yeah, fingers. We'd give him a tin of that. Yeah.
A whole tin.
A whole tin.
No, I think that's too generous. Tin. I think we've got to keep half back. We've got to keep him interested in the project.
No.
We give him the whole tin. He'll never come back. yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Felix, you get the box of chocolates. Apply at, you know, let's see what we can do. Anybody want to say anything about the view transitions? That's just so cool.
It's really cool.
Very cool. Kind of like what the web was made for. It's a browser thing, by the way. And I was speaking to Adam Silverstein at WordCamp Europe. I've got a podcast coming out with him next week. That's not true. It's coming out on Wednesday. And man alive, there's so much interesting stuff happening in the browser at the minute, of which this is one. But Adam talks to me and we go over about six APIs and features that the browser is shipping. And this is one of them. And this is one of the cooler ones, I've got to admit. But there's a whole bunch of other ones as well, like, you know, speculative loading and all of this kind of stuff, which is happening. One of them is the Carousel API.
Reminds me back down. Do you remember the old days where you tried to hack like JavaScript and then you could do a CSS carousel? And now you can actually do it.
And you, and it's just HTML and it's in the DOM and it's accessible and there's no JavaScript weirdness. And there was the popover API as well, which I didn't know about, which is kind of fun and interesting. Anyway, that's coming out with Adam next week, also a Googler. Right, where are we going? This is just a Rob Tim's bits. I don't know why. I apologize, Tim. I regret saying that sentence.
That is definitely not the title of this episode.
No.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, they'll all agree that that's definitely.
I really want your camera to just go off now. Come on.
And I come back broken. So what? Tim's been every time I talk to Tim, I think he's using Firefox. He's a big proponent of Firefox. And I used Firefox until I realized that there was just too much that was in Chromium-based browsers that I was wedded to.
You mean like view transitions and stuff?
Yeah, is view transitions not? I mean, surely it's coming, right?
It will come at some point. But it's still not an adopted web standard. It is just a thing that they put in Chrome, but now Safari wed. Yeah, we'll have that too. So when Safari does that, then Firefox will follow.
But I had so much hope. Firefox was like this beam, like this just, I don't know, point of light on a hill or something for the longest period of time. It kind of got just taken over. Google with its might built Chrome and, you know, off they went and got up to 90% or something like this. But it would appear that there's like this growing discontent, certainly amongst the people writing these articles. So the first one is Firefox is fine. It's on the register. Firefox is fine. The people running it are not. And then there's a whole, it just goes into all the detail.
Bear in mind, what have we felt about the WordPress articles written about our project?
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. So it's maybe the same. Yeah. Now tell me, would you go to AI and ask about the sentiment? Sentiment to a
small Tammy Bot.
Yeah, that's quite Tammy Bot. Yeah, I love it. And there's another one here about Mozilla now only seems to speak using creepy gibberish lunatic language. I mean, it's a little bit like, I don't know, that's a bit of a political piece more than anything else. But Tim, put the case for why we should all be using Firefox. Is it still your weapon of choice?
It is. What I would say is that Firefox is a browser and that has been around longer than any of the other browsers that we currently have on the market in terms of large market share. Mozilla is a non-profit organization that runs Firefox. Mozilla has a tendency to wander away from its core, I think. Its core things were Firefox and Thunderbird.
Yep.
And they are both, I think, everybody who ever see, they are both amazing pieces of open source software. And that's it. Firefox is open source. Now, Chromium is sort of open source-ish, except for the bits that's not. Firefox is the only real open source browser with any mainstream, and it's got a very small market share. So it's a bit, there are other open source browsers, but they have an even tinier market share. But it's one of the very few open source browsers we have. Mozilla, though, they get their funding almost exclusively from Google.
It's such a weird relationship.
Because they are, basically, this is the way that Google gets to keep Chrome, by going, no, what do you mean? Of course there's competition. Look, this browser that we pay for, they are definitely our competition at 2% of the market share, and that's where we're going to keep them. So there is this weird relationship where every year, Mozilla thinks they're going to run out of money because every year, Google has to decide whether or not it's going to give them the money. And yet they still managed to ship two really good products. They also shipped Rust. So Rust language is an amazing language that is now used for things like Linux kernel development. Yet Mozilla built that out, and then they suddenly got rid of the team because they pivoted to some weird AI VPN Bitcoin crypto stuff for a little while. Which had absolutely nothing to do with their core markets. And then they did something else for a little while. And I think I could probably speak for an awful lot of Firefox users where I'd say, if they would just cut out everything and just focus on Firefox. And, you know, Thunderbird, make those better. That, put your focus there. Don't worry about the politics. Don't worry about everything else. But there seems to be a thing that when you become a foundation and an organization, you grow really big. They were huge. Mozilla was
amazing. Yeah, they were, weren't they?
So many of my friends have at one point been employed by Mozilla. And then you look at things like MDN, Mozilla's developer network, the documentation. That is like the gold, was for so long the gold standard in documentation.
Is it not still? I kind of feel it still is. Everybody seems to talk about it.
I also love Thunderbird.
I do. I'm a Thunderbird user too.
I don't use it anymore, but I used to, particularly when I had Linux.
I do. I love it. I
loved it.
So, I say it's the gold standard because nobody's working on it anymore because they sacked all the people who were the writers for it. So, I mean, you made it a community thing, whereas before it had an employed team on it. So there is a level of, it feels like every step they take, they shoot themselves in the foot and they get bad publicity and then they overreact to the bad publicity, which inevitably involves shooting the other foot in a big attempt to try and balance out pain between the 2 feet. And if they do carry that way, what loses out is Firefox. What loses out is Thunderbird. Because these are all levels of distractions from what are two really good products. And it's really, really, really important that we do have different browser products.
Yeah.
We don't just say everything should use Chromium behind the scenes.
Yeah, because otherwise we're kind of back to IE, right?
Yeah, we are. They can do what they like and they'll get all
the... We're literally back to what the whole point of originally why we all jumped when Firefox came out. And we were like, Firefox is not IE. It's amazing. Right? It's and then Chrome came out and it was just like, Chrome came out. Oh, it's an option. And then like we used to always have multiple, when you had a new computer, you'd have multiple browsers that, and then it was annoying to test in, but you had the choice.
I kind of want to love Firefox, but I somehow can't make it my daily driver. But Thunderbird, I've definitely settled on it. But Tim, you're reflecting very much what was in that article. It was like decisions outside of the purview of the core products, Thunderbird and Firefox, that just seem to derail them.
It's hard because obviously you as an organization want to support other things. If you took an example of the Linux Foundation or the Apache Foundations, they have their fingers in loads of different things, but they seem to still manage to ship things and do quite well even with those fingers everywhere, whereas Mozilla just seems to lose focus every so often. Lots of the Linux world is aghast on a regular basis, and unfortunately there are more often than not I listen to a lot of Linux podcasts, and overwhelmingly it's like, and we're going to talk about Mozilla, and they'll just be this collectively,
bless them. And now we've just made it worse by talking about them on a WordPress podcast. Reese says, +1 to the Thunderbird, to Thunderbird as one of the pieces of software I wish I still used. You can still use it, Reese. I give you permission. Feel free to go for it. That would be great.
And that was the fact that even a year ago, I used +1, I was using Linux Mint 2 now, but the fact that you had Calendar in Mail, it sounds a small thing, but it's just a really beautiful like integration that Thunderbird has. It just works. It's just a really nice piece of software.
Thank you. We're sort of wrapping up. So a few things over here. Firstly, Zach now wants biscuits. We know that. But Jackson, I have no words to describe how hurt I am by this gossip. He says, so the cheap biscuits goes with the value pizza at WPLDN. Those pizzas are not value. I mean, they're good value, but, you know, they anyway, there we go. And we also now know that Zach would like Tammy Pot to validate some of his crazy ideas. So, And sorry, James Lau, who made a few comments much earlier in the podcast. I completely missed those. It was all about you've been in the community for only about 18 months. And during that time, things have kind of imploded in certain ways and how alarming that has been to see. Yes, indeed. Yes, Jackson's now giving me a smiley emoji, so that's good. I don't think we've got time for anything else because we've totally overrun. However, I would tell you that very quickly, if you're worried about SEO because of AI, Ahrefs tells you you don't need to worry. Put all the AI slop in your blog you like, apparently. That's fine. But the other piece...
I've heard that if you write write a piece about how much I hate WordPress, that works brilliantly for clicks.
Yeah, works really well. That's and then it'll get you to search AI and then also promote, like feed it back into the system so that then you like are recycling it.
I had that article. I put it up, Tammy's findings, I put up on the screen and now I've completely lost it. I don't know where that tab went. But, nevertheless, and the other one is to very quickly just to say that Beeper, if you've been using Beeper, which is an automatic product they acquired last year, kind of allows you in one interface to chat with all the different chat platforms, Signal, WhatsApp, and so on. It's become a pro thing. You can still have a free tier, but just check your app, because I think at some point they're going to shut you down unless you start paying for it. But anyway, I think it's one of the few things that I will actually subscribe to, because I use it so blooming much. It's been really, really useful. That's all I got, I think. Did we miss anything? We probably did, but never mind.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. There we go. So thank you to you, the audience. Thank you very much for giving us your commentary. Appreciate that. That was fun. Thank you to the three people over here, over there. Thank you to my fan for making life possible over the last hour or so. And now we have to do the slightly humiliating hand wave thing. I've got a new thing. I now go like this and then I suddenly do that, and that's the way I do it. Look, you don't have to do that. There we go. We're all here. Yeah, Tammy.
Oh, Tim. Slightly controversial.
The sort of drooped version. So thank you so much. We'll be back this time next week. Appreciate it. If anybody is watching this and fancies coming on, do let me know. You can reach out on the website and the contact form, because we've got a few gaps coming up. And Firefox, there it is. There you go. We will see you soon. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
He said bye before he'd even picked up the mouse to find the button. Let me see if I can. I know, what an amateur. Yeah, do more Firefox. See you later.
Bye, 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 bye.